This is The Hardline, the greatest show on earth.
Well, maybe just in St. Louis.
Out of all grown freak show, something to see.
Got them lined up
and waiting, taking bullets for me.
I'm a Mack truck.
I'm chucking down a one-way street.
You better move, bitch.
My tank's on E.
The Hardline with TJ Moe, Cam Jansen, John Hadley, Bob Ramsey, and who the hell else knows?
Here we are, 105 St. Louis, Missouri. Thank you for hanging out with us today at The Hardline, 590 The Fan, KFNS and 590thefan.com. TJ Moe, Bob Ramsey, and David Solomon, the person who shows up for us in our time of need when our everyday board op abandons us on a rainy day. And here we are, Noah Matt Rocchio. I'm sure there's a great excuse, you know, like he didn't show up for work.
He needed a nap because it's a rainy day, kind of a good nap day.
Personal day, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. That's what I have to assume.
Yeah. You know, Hadley's in charge of doing the hiring and firing around here, so we can make suggestions, though. If Rock doesn't want to show up for work, I mean, what's the difference?
Exactly. Exactly right.
Boys, we had a rough one last night. First of all, no one got any sleep at all last night. Thanks for nothing. Unless you gave up after the second period knowing full well that game was over. And it was. There was no question about it. The game was well over after the second period. And, yes, Robert Thomas scored a goal. Ryan O'Reilly probably scored a goal that they missed. But the game was over. And so if you went to bed at 10:30 or whatever time that was, maybe you got a little sleep. But
you saw what you needed.
Yeah. Look,
there were a couple little things we'll get into late in the game, but for the actual things that affected the outcome of this particular game, you saw it.
Let's start with the pros, because there's really only one. They changed up the power play, and I thought it was brilliant. You put Dunner up at the top of the at the point where he should be, Petrangelo down to the second power play, and you put Tarasenko on the other side just to give him a little bit different look, mm-hmm. and bam, scored right off the bat. Five minutes into the game, 18 seconds into their first power play. Brilliant. That is the end of the pros. Okay, there's one more. Robert Thomas was the best player on the ice.
That was going to come. He was really good.
He, as a 19-year-old, was the best player on the ice for either team. He was unbelievable last night.
Really, really good. I agree.
Okay, now that's the end of the pros, I think. You got any others?
I think you're right.
All right, so there it is. We will get to, because the Robert Thomas pro is a pro for the next 10 years. So we will get to that. As far as it was a little different than what you saw out of Robbie Fabry. Young Robbie Fabry a couple years ago in the playoffs, he played well, but he wasn't dictating the game. You could not take the puck away from Robert Thomas yesterday. Jaden Schwartz has been playing some of the best hockey in the NHL throughout the playoffs. I hardly noticed him yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And every time 18 had the puck, I thought something really good is about to happen.
What I really like, because he played two games ago, he was not good. He and Maroon were not.
That's right.
Three games ago. Two games ago, all of a sudden Thomas kind of broke out. And then last night, he was great.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I'm seeing that I didn't really expect at this age to be part of his game, he had a little more physical play. Not that he was hitting people, but he was able to take on defenders who wanted to get physical with him. And, you know, he was stronger on his stick than anybody would expect for a 19-year-old. We knew the speed was there, but I thought he was pretty strong on his stick as well.
He's been that way, which is why it's so frustrating to contrast his play with a guy like Zach Sanford, who just goes face first into the boards every time you give him a little nudge. Like, Zach Sanford, yeah. We saw the Lindell thing, and we know that was a dive. But if that happened to Zach Sanford, I'd have thought, nope, he's just getting knocked off the puck again.
He's got drilled.
When you get touched by, when anybody touches Zach Sanford, that's actually how weak he is on the puck, whereas you have guys like Robert Thomas who can stop on a dime, accelerate, go the other direction, and you cannot take the puck away unless he's trying to do something with it. The one thing that the biggest place of growth that he needs is to realize when it's time to shoot, because he doesn't have any idea when it's time to shoot, and he's always looking to pass, which is why he was an assist machine down in the American League.
Mm-hmm.
Fine, But there are times right now where, yes, you open up a lot of guys for a lot of great shots. But, bro, he can pick a corner and let him do it. And he needs to kind of get that attitude a little bit. He's not on a scoring line. Pat Maroon, you're not going to give it to Pat Maroon and he's going to pick a corner. Bozak will score occasionally, right? He's the guy who can bury the puck, and he needs to start doing it. So,
I think splitting hairs, needs is not so much, I think, if I'm reading you, not so much that it's something he has to do for his personal play, but the team needs it.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And if we're talking about improvement, there it is.
Yeah.
What is that?
I don't know.
Is that?
Boy, it's an old song that's really worn out and really has no meaning in modern times.
I think I used to know a guy who called this his theme song. I haven't seen him in a week or two.
He must be really old by now, then.
John Hadley, everybody. John Hadley with the introduction. Do you hear it? This is it's like The Rock coming in, Stone Cold Steve Austin walking down into the ring. John Hadley, everybody. Hi, John.
Boys, I tried to give you fair warning the other day. I tried to tell you peoples, you commoners, what was on the agenda, as Larry Plow would say, the agenda. No one wanted to listen. Well, you found out for yourself last night. You saw this coming from a mile away, and you didn't want to believe it. Now you can't avoid the truth. Nothing but the truth.
So help you God. John.
Who are you talking about?
John's just rambling. John, you do realize last night was 1,000% your fault, right?
No.
Yeah, no. It 100% was your fault.
Fall on the sword. Come on.
I told you, and you told me, it was intimated and such, when John calls me about a half hour before the game, the Blues win every time. It's been that way the entire playoffs.
He didn't call?
And at about 8 o'clock, it was 8:01, I sent him a text. I said, hey, you know, I don't want to point anything out, but I would maybe try to call me in the next 29 minutes just to say, hey, no reason, no big deal, no phone call from John, no text throughout the game, nothing. And they got their ass pummeled, John.
Boy, that John, that's, well, come on, man.
Because I knew what was coming. I tried to tell you guys this team was playing poorly. I tried to tell you that this goalie was on the fringe of losing it. I tried to give you fair warning that they were not playing the Blues hockey that got them to this point, that they were fortunate and had Lady Luck sitting on their shoulder in game three. All these people calling me and telling me I'm crazy and everything else. Let me tell you something right now. Once again, this proves why I am so greatly desired by every media company in the world. Because
the Kremlin, especially. Yeah, they got you.
Too legit. Too legit to quit.
Splashback
the king
Hughes.
Of all sports media. He's a right-thinking kind of guy. How about that?
Splashback Deuce.
Don't talk when I'm talking.
well played.
Hey, Splashback Deuce chiming in, rewording your theme song here. He says, too unfit, please quit. Da, da.
Very nicely done.
All right, hey, I'm going to file a minority report here. And I'm pretty sure I am. TJ and I haven't talked about this. I wanted to hold back because I wanted to get that immediate visceral reaction from both of you. And my minority report is that while, and also a disclaimer, which I hate, but I do it anyway.
Well, sure.
While not offering absolution to the Blues, they certainly have to accept failure for them. I think more than the Blues' failure, though, is we must, for being objective, must tip our cap to the job Jim Montgomery and the Stars did in a back against the wall and all the other trite sayings we want to put. I thought what they did and forcing the issue, there were times in those first two periods, what they did was they completely sold out on putting the pressure on. There were times that they went so completely out of what would be typical formations. You go back and look at tape. Let's say in the Blues offensive zone, they'd have the ball along the puck along the right boards.
Felt like they were playing with the ball yesterday.
That puck along the right boards, and instead of a guy checking him and the other guys back in their obvious positions, you would see five Dallas players on the screen along the boards there, and putting enough pressure on that the Blues couldn't beat that. Instead of attacking the attacker, the Blues succumbed to that pressure. And while, again, not offering absolution, the Blues didn't do anything to really counter it until late in the game when it was too late. I think more than pinning it on the Blues, I got to give credit to the Stars.
I disagree to some degree.
Much like I tell TJ, I don't mind you giving a good friend a kiss on the cheek or even a kiss on the lips. There can be a manly kiss on the lips. I just take
just
a
no
when
tongue.
You start handling when you start holding his butt cheeks as you're kissing him.
See, that's
let me tell you something right now.
Okay,
here we go. Hi-oh.
I'm not remotely debating your contention.
Okay,
that
I agree with you. Let me tell you something right now. I agree.
The Dallas Stars played probably as well as they're capable of playing.
Yep.
But as you so duly noted, it was the St. Louis Blues not playing their game mm-hmm. and being the aggressor that mm-hmm. led to the problems. So while Dallas did play and play as well as they could, I still go back to my contention that had the Blues played their game, if they were the aggressor, if they were bringing a 10-ton nad like they had for much of the second half of the season, that their aggressor niece would have overcome
bless you.
The calculating and cunning wits of one Jim Montgomery.
You know, John, and let me ask you this as a great analyst for the last 35 years, however old you are, and TJ, as a guy who actually played at a high level,
the level was high. I didn't play at that level, but I was at a level that was high
yeah,
playing.
That's
yes.
my point. That's my point. Yeah.
Okay. I got you.
Yeah, let's clarify. But was last night, does it typify human nature that a team that's actually desperate in a almost must-win game, I hate must-win games when they're not really, but virtually a must-win game as opposed to a team who knows they could virtually ice the series if they win, it's not the same as playing for your life. And what I think we saw was an example of human nature playing out, and the Blues weren't capable of overcoming that, where the Stars accepted it and played it out.
I think that's totally right. The Stars have also done that once this playoffs already. They were down 2-1 in Nashville. They know the exact scenario, and they came out with their backs up against the wall and didn't lose again in that series.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing here. And we realize, I mean, look, being up 2-1 is a big deal, but being up 3-2 is a massive deal. This game coming up now is what everything hinges on that. You had to get to 2-2 to have a real chance, right? By historical statistics, if you're down 3-1, you're screwed. Going back to what you said about the Stars making changes, yes, they did. The Blues had a 1-0 lead. Like, they gave you a goal, 1-0, and then you did nothing. Mm-hmm. You got your face pounded in. So, yes, the Stars made some adjustments, but you also didn't show up. There was not. We talked about it. There's one dude that showed up yesterday. One.
The 19-year-old.
Yes. And he didn't know he wasn't supposed to show up. Nobody told him because he's not in the cool kids club yet. He's got to turn 20 before he gets there.
That's funny, but also so true.
Yeah. It really is. Like, hey, you're here. I am convinced Ryan O'Reilly is either dog tired, and we talked about this. You run your horse until he runs out of gas. If you run out of gas in the Western Conference Finals, so be it. Well, it may have happened in the Western Conference Semifinals. He's either totally out of gas or he's hurt. It's one of the mm-hmm. two. He can't win a faceoff. The guy who's like, of everybody that took at least 1,000 faceoffs on the season, he was like fourth best at 57%.
And they may have to take the pressure off and limits. I know it's only a few minutes he gets on and gets off, but maybe have to limit that and go back to a more traditional way of taking faceoffs.
Well, I think they've already done
that
to some degree because he didn't take that many. He'll on any given one before, he'd take 35, 40 in a game.
Yeah.
He's only winning 8 right now.
Right.
I think he took 25 yesterday, won 8, lost 17.
Yeah.
Tyler Seguin is owning him
mm-hmm.
in the faceoff circle. So I don't know what that's about. Maybe it's just a bad matchup. Dallas is a really good faceoff team, just like the Blues were. The difference is Ryan O'Reilly was the reason the Blues were a good faceoff mm-hmm. team. They got a bunch of cats that can do it.
Once again, try to give you fair warning. During the interview with Chris Kerber, I told him about my concern about the Blues not winning faceoffs, that Dallas is matching up, Dallas is taking advantage of it. Faceoffs are addressing Kerber embellished on it. So now all of a sudden you're starting to see the light. I'm happy. That means that you listen and you learn. but I tried to give you fair warning for this game.
John,
so I'll tell you what right now.
So, John, what is it?
So what's going to happen next?
What's happening that people refuse to listen to you? Because I'm in that group.
Well, I think a lot of it is because people don't understand Maryland High Tees.
And so I should because I grew up right next to there. But, yeah, I need to go back to my roots.
Exactly.
John, hipster of Tower Grove South says, speaking of seeing things from a mile away, whenever Hadley walks through a room, his belly has already been there for 5 minutes.
Oh, stop.
See there. See there. You're such a smartass. I actually timed that one time, and it's 90 seconds. So there, hot shot.
Yeah.
Wrong again.
I made the joke about the Kremlin earlier. Donald Trump's Russian friend texting in and said, gentlemen, my headquarters does not desire Mr. Hadley's service. Thank you. There you go. Brian McKenna texting in. As far as Blues game last night, I haven't seen a pounding like that since the Tommy and Pamela
Stop
Lee video.
Yeah. Stop it.
Well, we know that that is actually Brian McKenna.
That proves it. Yeah, there's no doubt.
Hockey Bob, hey, Edgar, the only desire that we have towards you is the desire we have for you to stop talking until mid-June after the parade down Market.
Bob, I can't help it, dude. You know, nobody wants the Blues to win more than I do, but I'm not going to sit there and bury my head in the sand. Not going to happen. Now, a big old pile of mashed potatoes, maybe.
Maybe.
But not the sand.
Guys, we totally buried the lead here, and this legitimately bothered me last night. That in the second round of the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, they threw a young girl that has probably never called a game before, who was it was like Rex Ryan in the booth. Remember when they tried Rex Ryan out?
Yeah.
By the way, I'm not anti-women announcers. I'm anti-bad announcers. And I forget her name now. The lady that was with Rex Ryan carried Rex Ryan. She was actually really good that night. Rex Ryan was terrible. They took him out of the Blues because he was awful. The NHL somehow was trying to promote women's hockey, I guess, with one of their best players, Kendall something or other. And one, that's terrible logic. Nobody was Googling at intermission what the women's hockey schedule is so they could go watch her because of her brilliant analysis. One, because it wasn't brilliant analysis. Two, because it sounded like they somehow lost the person that was actually supposed to call the game and said, you're in the building, here's a microphone, go.
It did sound like that. You're absolutely right. I felt bad for her that she was put in that position.
Kendall Coyne. Thank you. Matt Rocky.
Diversity is great. However, trying to use it to be stylish as... And I've used this before, and actually recently, I will continue to use these old lines when it pays off. As Inspector Harry Callahan once said, it's a mighty high price to pay for being stylish. And what happened was they embarrassed her. They brought down the level of the broadcast to the point people are pointing it out instead of just enjoying the game. And it's truly unfair to that young lady.
This is a real thing.
She gave an effort. You could tell she was really trying. I have nothing against her. I have it on the network for pushing it.
Exactly right. And this was some of the analysis too. Like, it is hard to come directly out of it. She's not out of the game and learning the craft. She's in the game and then asked to do a separate craft.
Yeah.
This was a real thing she said. While the Blues are on the power play, they're going to try to win the faceoff and keep it away from Dallas. That was the analysis. And then she shut up. And we're like, yeah, look for Tarasenko here. Okay. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that was the announcement. So, you know, come on, NHL. Just give us a. I was talking to Cam Jansen yesterday, who just, a lot of people did this, paused their television, turned it on mute, and timed it up with Chris Kerber.
Right.
One, I like to do that anyway because Kerbs is awesome. But secondly, don't give us a garbage product. Again, no offense to the poor girl who was giving her very best and put in a horrible situation.
Yep.
But don't just throw somebody out there who has no business being out there.
Correct. Complete agreement.
Well, again, you really don't know until you know. I mean, one, I sort of dig the fact that NBC is utilizing female hockey players because it does bring a different voice to the game. And obviously, having played the sport, they're intimately aware of every aspect of the game. But having been in TV boys since the early 90s and having seen some of the most phenomenal talent that you can imagine from the start of their careers on. Number one, I've seen a lot of truly highly respected and great announcers today start off extraordinarily rough early in their career.
Sure.
But number two, and Bob, you've seen this before, I guarantee you. You can put a lot of people in a simulcasted position in a studio and go through rehearsals, and they're great. You turn it on for real, and they just fall apart.
Yeah, it locks up on them.
So,
yep.
So the end result is undeniable. It was not a good broadcast.
Right.
But to assume, TJ, that she's incapable is just that, merely an assumption.
That's not my assumption either.
Assuming that she's very bad is an assumption.
No, I am telling you she was very bad yesterday.
Clearly stated,
that's the end of my discussion.
I clearly stated that last night she was bad.
I know,
you
so
don't
we're
know
agreeing.
She's a bad broadcaster. You don't know that.
Again, you have no idea. Again, John,
you're putting words in my mouth. Yeah. I said she sucked last night. She had no business being there, which was true.
Again, John, you got to understand we're not listening to you.
You're saying she didn't belong there. You don't know that.
Well, I did. I do know that last night she didn't belong there, and she proved that. Now, that may be different tomorrow.
Based on that one performance, yeah.
Well, that's
based
right.
On that one performance.
And that's all that we have to go off of. If she had 15 other games that she's done before that you can present to me where she was really good, I don't think that exists. I actually think she's cutting her teeth in the second round of the NHL playoffs, which is a problem.
Or you're just a jerk-off, and you're willing to make an assumption based on one appearance.
That's our sample size.
You want me to tell you how many bad games I've seen Tom Brady play? Should I pick one of those bad games as my decision about Tom Brady early in his career?
Well, we do that when there's a guy that comes in the second round of the NFL playoffs and that's his first game. We say he might not be any good.
No, you don't make a definitive statement about anyone.
John, you're arguing just to argue. I'm pointing out that she was awful last night and that there is absolutely nothing to argue about there.
No, I'm not arguing that point.
So now you're trying to put words in my mouth to disagree.
We're all agreeing that she sucked last night,
and there's no getting around that.
No, you're the one who's saying she had no right being there.
Last night, which was true, and she proved that last night she shouldn't have been there. So if she falls apart when the lights come on, you shouldn't be there.
So say it. For the time being, she doesn't deserve to be there.
That's correct.
She should never be there.
You did. That's why I keep saying you're putting words in my mouth. I do have a guy who from last night was putting out some stuff that she said. Do you remember the story she told? She's like, he skated right before me. And I was like, wow. And that, you know, it's like, you're like, yeah. And they're like, Tarasenko, 4 power play goals. And she's like, yep, means you got to cover him. I mean, just a few things. Like this is why I say you know she's early in the process here, and maybe she will be an unbelievable broadcaster at some point. Right now, she clearly had no idea what to say, so she just threw out the first thing she could think of, which didn't bring any analysis.
Again, not her fault.
Right.
We
exactly
all agree
right.
with that.
Exactly right. So as I said yesterday, the thing you shouldn't say, shame on NBC Sports. Yeah. John, you weren't here yesterday. We got very psychological. We did a lot of therapy. You could have probably used some, to be honest with you. The text line.
Missed opportunity.
That's right. The text line chiming in all over this, actually. So we will dive in. Rudy the Flyer, do you guys think Monty is telling his players to take dives and look ridiculous, or is he simply not holding them accountable for their antics? It's disgusting and a complete embarrassment to themselves and their organization. I doubt they're being coached that.
I think 2-2 is enough accountability for him.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes to win. Now, most of us agree that that probably is not in any way helping the team win.
And I doubt they're being coached to do that. There's no way.
Almost certain they don't.
Yeah. I can't imagine there's a hockey coach in history that said, you know what, dive down there and look like a fool, because anybody with any pride would say, coach, you're out of your mind. And most of these coaches played before.
Yeah.
So there you go. Gibby says, Hadley probably unequivocally believes that Bozak should have been called for interference. What do you think of that call, John?
Once again, when the St. Louis Blues suck, least of my concerns are referee calls. How about you just play your game,
mm-hmm.
you play it correctly. Binnington keeps his wits about him, doesn't start choking, doesn't start gagging like a poster child for the Heimlich maneuver, and just go about your business. That's all that matters to me. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less.
I think that's good analysis. If we're just looking at that, I think that's great big picture analysis. I think if we're only looking at the single circumstance, it was a bad call. But yes, you let it change the tide of the game. They scored on the power play, and you screwed yourself. But yes, mm-hmm, individually, bad call. Your fault for letting it screw you.
Yeah.
Hunchback of
Or as we've seen on several occasions since the start of this glorious 2019 season, the Blues have overcome such adversity, such bad calls. They didn't last night. They haven't recently. So, again, you know, when we sit there and we talk about how incredibly tenacious they are and they overcome this and they overcome that, well, I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, well, woe the Blues, when they're not taking care of their business like they have before when we praise them.
Yep. I'm on board with that. Tim Van Gelder, TJ, whoever said Hadley's belly shows up 5 minutes before him is dead wrong. It is his odor. My Dixie wrecked with a W. Wrecked. Kendall was still not nearly as bad as Pierre Maguire, who's trying to make out with half the Dallas bench. I have not felt that same way. Everybody has said it's so one-sided. I've not felt that.
I thought last night, Pierre, kind of was going with the flow. Dallas was playing so well. He got a little chubby.
But, dude, I did too for Dallas last night. They were great. But Blues were terrible. That's what you should call. Call what's in front of you.
Yeah, but that's what people are reacting to, I think.
Yeah, they said it before the game. I was getting tweets about that way before the game.
Are you mocking me, Bob? All I got is what God gave me.
304, thanks for making my lunch listening decision an easy one today, Hadley on air.
See ya.
Change in the station the rest of the day.
See ya.
Hashtag keep the village idiot off air.
Have a nice day. Thanks.
Manhole inspector, she kept saying, Petter Angelo. Yeah, why does everybody struggle with his name?
Well, because he says it goofy.
He does?
Yeah. There was a baseball player, I think he was from Canada, David Salomo helped me out with that. I can't remember his first name now. His first name. Peter Angelo. Was it J.P.? J. something, David? And he pronounced it Peter Angelo.
Well, there was actually his father's cousin played in the NHL as a goalie. And he, I think, was Peter Angelo.
I think that's right. Yeah, that is right.
Even related to him in a different pronunciation.
It's understandable when the guy pronounces his own name wrong. That
I've never heard him pronounce it to what, like, it's either been Petrangelo or Petrangelo. It's one of the, either way, it's not Petter Angelo. I've never heard him say anything close
now,
to that.
You can, apparently the rule is you can pronounce your name however you want. Because I forgot 20 years ago, I still remember the call. A guy was livid with me for some sort of comment like we're making with Petro. And so he called up. Well, and he was screaming at me. So you pronounce your name wrong. There's no Z in your name. Should be Ramsey. I go, all right, have a nice day. But it's kind of his point. Well taken. The rule that you can pronounce your name any way you want to pronounce it, even if it's wrong.
Yeah, but he doesn't do that either. It's like even Panger tweeted out. He said, you know, public service announcement. It's not Petra Angelo. It's Petrangelo. Come on, Pierre. How hard
boys,
is it?
Boys, I got a large plate of flat fries awaiting me. Beautiful women. I got to go.
No, you don't.
One more from Gibby, John.
Fries?
Hadley quote, let me tell you.
There wasn't enough of a pause there.
That's the end of the quote.
There wasn't enough of a pause.
And if you don't understand that, you just don't get it.
What kind of fries are you having? Thin, thick, crinkle?
No. Got to go with the steak fries.
Steak fries. A little seasoning on there?
Nice and golden brown. Just a tad of seasoning. Say hello.
314, we can end on this. Jeez, shut up, Hadley. Horrible radio as always.
But consistency.
Oh, boy.
Oh, you jealous little wannabes.
You go with ketchup, or you throw, like I used to say, throw the ketchup out the window. You got to go barbecue sauce.
Mm.
Well, I can't go barbecue sauce because of my diabetes, too much sugar, but I do ketchup on the side.
Okay.
I never dare smother it. Hence,
there you
I can
go.
Just dip in a gentlemanly manner. That's all.
Okay, nothing fair enough. Less. Hold that pinky out.
Just remember this, boys and girls. Every man wants to be me. Every woman wants me. Then you'll be able to live my life. Good day.
John Hadley out.
Huh. I didn't see that coming.
He's got exit music now. How about that?
Well, exit's a good. That's good.
Two unfit, please quit. Dun, dun. Thank you, Splashback Deuce. A few more. Splashback, she sounded like one of those great clips.
That was his final little outro for his bad habit.
Ah, yes.
Gotcha.
Splashback Deuce, she sounded like one of those great clips PA for a day child announcers. Not that she didn't know hockey, but she really didn't know how to announce it. He nailed it. She does know hockey. She threw out a couple things.
She,
you know, giving credit to the right person who didn't, you know, he's like, that really started at the net. The guy, you know, a couple things. She talked about layering. I thought that was interesting. She's like, look at him right now. When you were talking about all the guys on board, she's like, check out the layering. They can't get the puck to the net. That's interesting. But you had no idea how to communicate most anything you were saying.
And that shows that even with a storied company like NBC Sports, again, they made a decision to be stylish.
Yeah.
And instead, but what they did was disrespect the craft.
Yeah. And us.
And us.
Yeah.
And
like we wouldn't notice that it sucked. I mean, come on.
I
noticed. And as Don Caesar says, T just had to work with Hadley, so he knows terrible when he hears it.
Yeah. And again, not ripping her.
That's right.
She was put in that position by NBC Sports instead of finding what she ever did. Do some minor league games.
Right.
Even a regular season NHL handful of games.
Or a women's game.
Yeah.
Start with that because the people who are like have watched you play a ton are going to have way more leeway for you than somebody who has no idea who you are.
It gives you a familiarity to build it up.
That's right. Harrison's brother's master is asking what we thought about the dog crap announcing last night. Also... 3 and 4, pausing a TV can only put you further behind the broadcast on radio. I don't know. Cam said that's what he had to do, so you tell me. Maybe he was streaming the radio, because if you're streaming on an app, it'll come in later than it otherwise would on your regular radio. So there you go. Yeah, typically.
Sometimes it depends. Depends how many times, because everything's satellite now, almost everything. It depends on which cast is bouncing the most times off satellites and, you know, I don't know the technology, but having to relays and bouncing, and it depends, you know.
Whatever the delay is, there could be a lot of causes.
I know the radio delay now is 15 seconds because it has to account for HD. And then on your TV, not only is it your provider, but sometimes the actual TV. I have two TVs set up. I've watched the same game from the same source, whether it be over the air or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the two TVs, even with the same over-the-air broadcast, can be a couple seconds apart.
That happens at my house, too.
Yep.
You're right.
Me too.
Absolutely right.
Me too. Bob, number two, TJ, you've been doing this for a while, and you suck every day, which is true, which is why NBC has not asked me to do the color commentary in the second round of the NHL playoffs. Does that make a lot of sense? Yes, it does. Why didn't they choose that for this girl who also was not very good last night?
Having said that, I think TJ would be a great football analyst, and I'm not suggesting he goes to Fox and say, I want to work with Joe Buck on the big game of the week, I think probably go to Missouri Valley or somebody else and cut your teeth.
Exactly right.
And figure it out.
Yeah, go do a high school game.
Yeah.
They've never heard anybody announce. They just like to hear somebody announce their game for once.
That's the difference.
That's exactly right. 3-on-4, John sounds like an idiot. Way to call him out, TJ. McKenna beat my ass too.
With that, we got to go to...
All right. We'll be back in a bit. It's a hard line.